Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right, so here's a question. If you could have total freedom, right? Like no limits at all, no rules. Like you're still you. You don't have like superpowers or anything along those lines, right? You're still just you. But if you could have total freedom, right? No rules, no limits, what would you do, right? Like how would you use that freedom in your life? Like, I don't know, would you have like ice cream for breakfast? Is like that how you would use your freedom? Maybe take a month-long vacation. Some of you might, you're like, I'm never folding laundry again, right? If there's no rules and no limits, I'm never folding laundry. And I was thinking about this question. You know what I would do if I had no rules, no limits? And what I would do is I would go back and find my 12th grade senior English teacher, Miss Phillips, and let her know what I really thought about her and how she treated me and my friends in front of our lockers near her classroom and shooed us away. I would let her know what I thought about that. I'm not bitter. It's fine, right? And I would say, no, Miss Phillips, I don't know who toilet papered your house, right? I have no clue who did that. But total freedom. Think about that. Total freedom. It sounds amazing, right? To have total freedom to do whatever it is that I want to do until you realize living that way, your bank account is now empty, right? Your cholesterol is through the roof, and you have now been wearing sweatpants for your third week in a row, right? And living that way. See, what feels like freedom in the moment can actually lead to just wrecking your life. What appears to be freedom to do whatever I want to do can actually wreck you in the long run. And the problem is that we love being in control of our lives. You love being in control of your life. I love being in control of my life. And we think we're really good at it. We believe we are great at being in charge of our lives. And sometimes it works until it doesn't. Right? Think about that. It works until it doesn't. And Jesus knew what you and I tend to ignore, which is this. Me in charge of me without God is a bad idea. That me in charge of me without God is a recipe for disaster. And the reason I share this is because this is the heartbeat of Lighthouse Community. When God called us to start this church 9 years ago, right? I was just talking with somebody before the service, remembering one of my very first days when we met in the Lighthouse building. By the way, that's how we got our name, right? Like that was the name of that building before we ever got there. And we thought, well, let's just incorporate that because everybody in Hancock County knows where the Lighthouse building is. And so we slapped community on the end of it, and that's how we got where we're at. But I remember meeting there, and we desperately wanted to do was help people discover who God is and walk with him, right? Like this is the heartbeat of who we are. And you see it around, right? We've got signs on our walls. You'll see it in your bulletin. We've got people wearing bracelets. It's on our t-shirts. That we help people say yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives. That's what we do. That's the heartbeat of what's behind our ministry, right? And I'm not saying other things are wrong or bad. I'm just saying when you come to Lighthouse, that's what we do. More than anything else is help people walk with God because we know that life with Jesus in the driver's seat is so much better. And if you went around and talked to the people of Lighthouse Community, those who have been transformed by Jesus Christ and are walking with him day in and day out, you would hear story after story. You would encounter person after person who describes to you how good it is to walk with God than it is to walk without him, right? It is so much better. And so we want to unpack this idea just a little bit more. So as Heidi mentioned, if you brought a Bible with you, go to Luke chapter 9. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's one of the four Gospels. And we're going to be in chapter 9 today looking at a verse. And while you're going there, I do want to welcome you. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here, and so glad every one of you have taken your time to be a part of this family today. Especially want to welcome all of our first and second time guests. We're really grateful that you chose to be here. And I want to let you know, like, our church family, like, prays for you that God would draw people to this place so that, you know, you can discover more about who he is and how to walk with him. And then I also want to welcome everybody at Lighthouse Online, whether you're here in Hancock County or maybe you're joining somewhere else. We're really glad that you're a part of our family. And I'm actually going to invite you, maybe if you're on Facebook, YouTube, or whatever, go to lighthousecommunity.online.church. Lance, I hope I got it right this time. but I think that's the address. Go there, log in, be a part of the community. I think it's going to be really, really helpful for you. And I'm going to ask you, Lighthouse Community family, can we take a moment and together, can we just welcome all of our guests and everybody at Lighthouse Online and let them know how glad we are that you're here, right? It is no small thing that you took time out of your day, out of your week to be here, right? I think about that all the time. You could have been anywhere else you wanted to be and you chose to be here. Thank you. Thank you. So we're in this series called Hello, My Name Is. And the reason we called it that is Lighthouse Community has grown rapidly over not only just the last couple of years, but especially over the last 6 to 9 months. And so we have a lot of people who are newer to our church family. And we just want to help you understand, like, who is this Lighthouse Community? What makes you tick? What drives you? What are you passionate about? What's really important? And so we're introducing Lighthouse Community to you and maybe reintroducing some core values of who we are to the rest of our family as well. And so that's the whole goal through this series. Before we go any further, I do want to take a moment and pray. So let's do that. God, I've become increasingly aware of how much each one of us need the Holy Spirit to walk with you. And so I am asking you, Holy Spirit, to do a couple of things that Jesus makes clear are part of the ministry that you do. One, that you would fill and empower me to share truth of Scripture with clarity and conviction from my own life, and that you would open all of our ears, all of our eyes, all of our hearts and spirits to receive truth from you. And I also pray that for some in this room and some joining online, today would be the day when you, Holy Spirit, awaken faith, awaken people to new life in Christ for the very first time. And it does not matter whether this is the first time they've ever thought about God or whether they've been in a church building, in pews, in chairs for years and decades, that today could be the day of genuine faith. And you would draw us closer to yourself. We ask these things through the good name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 is where we're going to be living at today. Let's do this. Actually, let's read this passage out loud together, beginning with, "Then he said to them all." Are you ready? Go. "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and..." Yeah. So these are the words of Jesus, by the way. So, like, you really have to listen to these out of all of them, right? They're in red. You have to listen to all of them. This is Jesus speaking, and it's really important. By the way, this is our memory verse for the week. So if this is a verse you want to memorize, you can mark that on your connection card. And what we'll do is tomorrow we'll send you some resources on how you can memorize Scripture in your life. So that could be a next step that you could take right now. But I'm thinking about this passage and I'm looking at it. I've been meditating on it, studying it for the last few weeks. And Jesus is looking at his disciples when he says this, right? He's not talking to the multitudes and the throngs. He's talking to the 12. And he looks at them and he says these words. And this is a pretty succinct passage to begin with. But I thought, man, is there a way to maybe distill this even more? And so I'm going to give a shot at it. And I think one of the things that Jesus was trying to communicate for his disciples and for us as well is that real life with Jesus begins when I stop living for myself. Real life with Jesus begins when I stop living for myself. I think this is kind of the core of what Jesus is communicating in that passage. See, what he says is whoever, right? Anybody, whoever wants to be my disciple. And then he unpacks with these three phrases that are simple, they're punchy, and they're profound. And very briefly, I want to walk through those. I want to explain some of it, and then I want to cross over into what I think that might mean for your life and what it might mean for my life as well. But he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, he says, first of all, you must deny yourself, right? You've got to deny yourself. That's the first stage if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You've got to deny yourself. When we're talking about denying ourselves, we're talking about setting aside selfish interests. And instead, living with God at the center, right? If I'm denying myself, I'm setting aside selfish interests. Now, when I was in university years and years ago, getting my degree in religion and philosophy to become a pastor, we had to take courses in Hebrew and in Greek. And when I was studying this passage, my mind went to, you know, some of those Greek studies and Hebrew things. And so this idea of denying yourself, I want to teach you a Bible word that if you will say this Bible word to yourself, it may be the most central thing when it comes to denying yourself. Now, Hebrew kind of has like this throaty, guttural, you know, it's like, right? So it's like you're like congested and you gotta get some stuff out, right? So that like, so let me get, so I'm gonna teach this word to you, right? Okay, all right, so we're close. Here it is. Are you ready? If you say this word regularly to yourself, I think it will help with this. Here it is. No, right? If you would learn to say no to yourself, this would pay amazing dividends when it comes. You'll find this in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word no, right? It will pay dividends in denying yourself. And listen, if you really think about it, this idea is so offensive because it's the exact opposite of what our culture teaches us and what most of us have learned growing up in our generation and in our age. Because what our culture says is explore yourself, affirm yourself, right? Experience whatever your heart feels in the moment, do that. And if your heart changes, change with it, right? Our culture does not say deny yourself. Our culture says affirm yourself. But the first thing Jesus says, if anybody wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves. You have to say no to yourself and to selfish interests. So you go, okay, well, that's pretty tough, Jesus. That's enough. I think we can just live with that. And he goes, no, we don't stop there. What's the second phrase he says? He says, you've got to take up your cross daily, right? This is what Jesus says. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to deny yourself, you must take up your cross daily. Now, as I've done study, I'm not sure when it happened, but this phrase, take up your cross, the meaning has been reinterpreted over the years. The further away we've gotten from the earthly ministry of Jesus, the more this phrase has changed and adjusted and shifted. And it seems to have, it's taken on this meaning of take up your cross means find your purpose in this life. Right? Jesus' purpose was to come and live a perfect life and to die on the cross and be raised from the dead. And so that was his purpose. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross, he's saying, figure out what your purpose is in life and then go do that. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. He's not saying, find your purpose and go live that way. I want you to think about this. When Jesus said, take up your cross, when Jesus just mentioned the word cross, when the disciples heard the word cross, when first century believers were reading the Gospel of Luke or hearing the Gospel of Luke read to them and they heard the word cross, do you know what came to their mind? It was not thinking about your purpose in life. You know what they were thinking about? This is the Roman form of execution that is reserved for enemies of the state alone. You crucify terrorists, insurrectionists, and leaders who would threaten the leadership of Rome. That's who crucifixion is reserved for. And this is like one of the most torturous forms of death that they could invent and come up with. That's what they thought of. And when you were condemned to crucifixion, you were required to carry your cross to the location of where you were going to die. And you carried your cross as a sign of humiliation. It was a sign to everybody else who saw you that this person's life is already over. This is a dead man walking. And it was designed to break the will of the person carrying the cross. When Jesus said, take up your cross, do you know what he's saying? You got to die to self. You have to die to self. This isn't go find your purpose to self-actualization. It's a symbol for dying to self. See, the Apostle Paul wrote something very similar. He had this in mind when he wrote Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Right? Romans 12, verse 1 says this. Look at it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, right? The whole first 11 chapters is all about what Jesus has done and what it meant. The fact that he came into this world, he lived a perfect life, putting himself as the Lamb of God to die in your place for your sins, rise from the dead 3 days later to show that he is God's son, and whoever would put their faith in him could be set free from sin and live life eternally, right? Paul sets all of that up in the first 11 chapters, and he says, now, in light of all of that, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Paul had in mind that it would be normal for the followers of Jesus Christ to die to self regularly and consistently, right? This is the heart of this. So Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, you got to deny yourself, and then we're going to up the ante. You have to die to self. Not only deny yourself, you not only say no, but you actually have to die to yourself. And then he leads to the first, which is what? Follow me, right? Anybody wants to be my disciple, you've got to follow me. Jesus used these words so often in the New Testament. You see this again, throughout the scriptures. Follow me, follow me. Again, this is another phrase that has taken a turn the further we've gotten away from the earthly ministry of Jesus. See, what we've turned this into is say a prayer, believe these truth statements that we believe, get wet, and wait for heaven. That's how these words have been largely reinterpreted the further we've gotten away from Jesus. Just believe the statements we believe, pray a prayer, get wet, and wait for heaven, right? That's what it means to follow Jesus. And yet that is not at all what Jesus meant when he said that. By the way, when the people who heard the words come out of Jesus' mouth say to follow me, they knew what he meant. What he was saying is follow me means be with me, learn from me, and become just like me. That's what it means when Jesus said, follow me. Be with me, learn from me, and become just like me. You see it again and again throughout the Gospels. Jesus is constantly inviting people. He says, follow me, follow me, follow me. And you know, people understood what he was saying because there are accounts of people who Jesus said to them, follow me, and they said no. Some walked away sad. Some had excuses, but people knew what was included in that, and they said, I'm not interested in that. And yet he said, follow me to some other people. And people like Peter and Andrew, James, Matthew, Philip, Paul, these people heard Jesus say, follow me. and they walked away from their old lives and spent the entire rest of their earthly existence being with him, learning from him, and becoming just like him. If you want to be Jesus' disciple, he says, the pathway is you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow me. So the question that I ask, well, that's simple. That's so simple. So then what gets in the way of that? Me. I'm the one that gets in the way of that. And me equals living for myself. Right? That's the heart of that. Living for myself means chasing my desires, means protecting my comfort. It means following my heart, right? I will be in charge of what I want to do. You have to understand that the greatest barrier to following Jesus is not the culture. The greatest barrier to following Jesus is not politics. It's not religion. It's not something else. The greatest barrier to following Jesus is looking at you in the mirror every morning you get up. You are your greatest barrier to following Jesus. I am my greatest barrier to following Jesus. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Let's read this one out loud together, beginning with, he died for everyone. This is talking about Jesus, by the way. Are you ready? Go. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will... Let's read that one more time, just this part, that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Do you know that's why he died? Is so that I would no longer live for me. And that you would no longer live for you. The DNA of sin is selfishness. The DNA of sin is self-centeredness. It is self-focused. It is self-absorbed. It is self-promoting. It's easy to look in the Old Testament and see all of the idolatry that happens out there, and people are building this statue out of wood and constructing this statue out of stone and doing all those things. Oh, those silly, you know, Old Testament people, they were uneducated, less, you know, cultured than we are today, following all those idols. Do you realize that the default idol for you is you? And the default idol for me is me. And this is the very next verse, right? We're looking at verse 23, but the very next verse, what Jesus says is that a me-centered life loses the very thing it's attempting to save. Jesus said, if you want to save your life in this world, you actually have to lose it. And if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll actually end up saving it. That a me-centered life actually loses the very thing that it's attempting to protect and to save. And as I was thinking about this, I just had a very sobering thought come into my mind. When I'm thinking about the greatest barrier to following Jesus for me is me, right? And this thought came into my mind. It took the Almighty God of the universe, his very best play, to rescue me from myself. Think about that. Think about that. It takes God himself to free us from the power of ourselves. When Jesus came into this world, the Son of Heaven stepped in, wrapped himself in flesh, lived a perfect life among us, suffered, died, raised from the dead. That was God rescuing you from you. That's the rescue, right? It's easy to like have this nameless, this faceless idea of sin that God is saving us from. And that's true, right? That's out there and we have a sin nature, but that resides, it's in me. It's in me. And I think that Paul David Tripp is right when he said this. He said that God will continue to rescue you from you until that rescue is no longer needed. Right? God will continue to rescue you from you until that rescue is no longer needed. And when will the rescue no longer be needed? When your body wears out in this world and you stand in front of God and he says to you, "Welcome home, well done, my good and faithful servant." That's when the rescue has been finalized and completed. And you'll live in that place for all of eternity, right? Until then, God will keep rescuing me from me. And God will keep rescuing you from you. You see, real life begins when I stop living for myself. Denying myself, taking up my cross daily, following Jesus. Why is it this way? Because it's the way of Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why is it that the way to become a disciple of Jesus is to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow Jesus? Is because that is the way of Jesus. Right? Jesus steps into our world. He takes up, it's not even his cross, he took up our cross. You realize Jesus never sinned, right? Jesus never did anything wrong in his life. He never once turned to the left or right of the will and the intention of God. And he walked obediently to what God asked him to do. The reason it's the way for us to be disciples is because that's the way of Jesus. And the goal of following him is to be with him, become like him. Be with him, learn from him, and to become like him. So it begs the question, all right, what do we do with this? Okay, I'm hearing you. You've laid down a lot of weight on me today, Fritz. I appreciate that. Is that because your nose is stuffy, right? You don't feel well, so you're putting that on us as well? Maybe. No, it's just the truth of Scripture, right? What do we do with this? How do I stop living for myself and start following Jesus? Three things really quickly. First one is this. You got to step down from your throne. You have to step down from your throne. Imagine that in your life there is a throne and there's only room for one to sit on that throne. And whoever sits there is the one who calls the shots of your life. And if you're honest, and if I'm honest with ourselves, right, you are usually the one on your throne. Your plans, your desires, your control. But I want to tell you something. You were not designed to sit on that throne. You were not made to sit on the own throne of your life. That's God's seat. Why do I know that? Well, it tells us all throughout Scripture, but one passage I would bring forward is Psalm 47, verse 8. Psalm 47, verse 8 says this. In fact, let's read this out loud together, starting with God reigns. Are you ready? Go. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. Now this is talking about the fact that God is authority over all of creation, the whole universe, everything, right? All the nations, all the tribes, all the people, including you. God's place, his rightful place, is the throne of your life. And if we can be transparent with each other for a moment, your leadership track record isn't that great to begin with, and neither is mine. You know those regrets that you have? Who led you there? It was you. Right? Don't tell yourself, but it was you, right? Listen, our leadership track record is not that great. And you have to understand, you cannot follow Jesus and be in control of your life. There's only room for one to sit on the throne, and it's God, right? So you got to step down. You got to step down. All right, here's the second way. How do we do this? Two, you got to suffer a daily death. You have to suffer a daily death. Why? Many of you have been around here, you know, you've heard this. Why do I have to suffer daily death? Because old Fritz keeps showing up on my doorstep, right? I thought I killed him, buried him in the backyard, and laid him to rest, and the next day, He shows up, and there he is again, knocking on the door, trying to get... It's a bad zombie movie. That's what my life is, right? And the old you keeps showing up with the same selfish habits, the same short temper, the same pride. Like, you know the moments when you want to snap at your spouse. The moment that you want to tell the truth, but not the whole truth. So you leave out some well-placed information so that people believe something different than what actually happened, right? The moments when you click on that site. The moments when you make sure everybody in the room knew you were the one who did that so that you get the credit, right? Old you keeps showing up. And so following Jesus actually means I've got to suffer this daily death. It means I stop trusting my natural impulses and I start killing whatever in me that leads me away from him. Right? I am just ready to kill my self-centered, selfish desires. How do I do that? Can I tell you the number one way I've learned to kill my own self in the process, my own self-centeredness, my own selfish desires? You know the number way I've learned to do that? Confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. Confessing my sin to the Lord. God, right? And I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know, by the way. But it's like, I see what you see. My heart does want it. There's times when I'm talking to the Lord and I just tell him everything that's in my heart, even the stuff that I know is in total opposition to him. Why? Because I need him to know I see the same stuff he does. And he probably sees things that I don't even see and recognize yet in my own life. And I'm inviting him to bring that stuff forward. And so I just bring it all out and I go, Lord, here's my desires, here's my plans, here's what I want, it's what's inside my heart. I don't like it. It's not what I want. I know it's not what you want, but it's there. So now we got to put it to death. And I repent, I turn away. God, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to make that decision. I don't want to go into that, right? Confession and repentance is absolutely central. Here's a prayer that you might pray in the morning, right? You get up, put your feet down. Take your breath of air and you go, Lord, I'm awake. And so is the old me, right? And so give me the strength to put my selfishness to death before it kills what matters the most. Maybe that's a way to pray, right? And go in knowing I've got to suffer death today. All right, here's the third way. How do I stop living for me and become Jesus' disciple? Number three, you got to learn how to live. You got to learn how to live. Guys, the longer you live without Jesus, the more that becomes a set paradigm for you. And so for those of us who lived life without Jesus for quite some time, you have to unlearn some of those truths and those habits and those principles that we picked up along the process. And we'd have to realize that that way of living is not in line with Jesus, not in line with God's character, it's not in line with the Bible. And I have to relearn how to live. This is what Jesus was saying in John chapter 10, verse 10 in the Amplified. He says, the thief, talking about Satan, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Jesus came for you to have life. Jesus came for me to have life. You may be breathing, but without Jesus, you're not fully alive. Without Jesus, you're not really living. And just very quickly, the best ways that I know how to live and the best ways I know how to help other people learn how to live are these three really quickly. You're going to be shocked. Number one, read the Bible. Two, pray. Three, live in community. Who could have guessed that we would have made to this place in the sermon that we would focus on reading scripture, prayer, and living in community? And when we read the Bible, it's not about learning life hacks, right? It's not about finding new burdens to put on myself. In fact, when I'm reading the Bible, guys, I've been following Jesus now for like 27 years, I think, at this point. And the thing that's bringing the most joy in my own personal time is I'm reading through the entire Bible, just about wrapped up, and I'm still simply reading, what does this tell me about who God is? And it never gets old, and it never gets tiring. I'm reading the Bible, and I'm discovering, who am I in Christ? What's my identity in Christ? That could be one of the biggest things for many of us in the room, is to simply discover who God is and to discover who I am in Jesus. And you put those two things together and you start learning how to live. You know what prayer is? Prayer is inviting the Spirit to transform my life. It's me talking with the Lord, and as I'm talking with him, he goes, is that really what you desire? And I go, yeah, actually, I think about it, it is. Well, you know that's not what I desire, right? Well, I'm learning that from your scriptures. And we start working through all of that. Here's a prayer I've been learning to pray recently. I learned this from another pastor. It's this: God, the answer is yes. Now, what would you like me to do? I think that's a powerful prayer. God, the answer is yes. Now, what is it that you'd like me to do? And to let the Spirit lead, change, transform my life. And then living in community, man, you need other disciples. You need to learn from disciples who are ahead of you in the journey, and you need to help some disciples who are behind you in the journey. This is how it's designed. This is not a me and Jesus by myself and no one else in the closet, right? It's like walking with the family. Sunday mornings are powerful. Small groups are powerful. Serving in ministry are powerful. Sharing the gospel with people who are far from you, far from the Lord, is powerful. This is what God uses to change our lives. And so one other next step, it's actually on your blue card, is perhaps something you might do this week. Actually, you could do this during lunch today, right? When you're at lunch and you go, hey, what'd you think of the sermon today? And people are like, I did not like it. That was not good. I don't know if I'm going back. And you go, well, here's a question, a thought you might throw out is maybe identifying an area of your life where you're living for yourself and then make a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus instead in that area. I'm pursuing my plans, my dreams, my desires, and I'm making a decision right now. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus instead. Listen, you can't follow Jesus and be in control of your life. You have to step down from your throne. You have to suffer daily death. And you have to learn how to live. But you have to learn it from Jesus, not just anybody. Here's a thought. Imagine you wake up tomorrow morning and you learn the news knowing that you're not in charge anymore. This would be some of the greatest news you could ever receive in a long time. Imagine freedom from the old you. Imagine peace that isn't tied to your circumstances or that I got my way or I didn't get my way. Imagine a life that's overflowing with joy. Guys, that's what Jesus offers. But it starts with a decision, right? Like, you have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. And it's either live for myself in this world and die, or lose my life and give it to Jesus and live forever. It's this crazy thought. It doesn't even work that way. But that's the decision. And by the way, it's not a both and. You have to pick one or the other, right? Either live for myself in this world, or I lose my life in this world and I give it to Jesus and I trust him with it. By the way, that's faith. That's faith. See, there's a lot of times people will talk about faith as this ethereal thing that's out there that you have to have faith. It takes faith to say no to yourself. It takes faith to put yourself to death every single day. It takes faith to follow the teachings and the life of Jesus when everything inside of you is screaming, no! We have so much bigger plans for ourselves. Guys, that's faith. That's the heart of faith, is trusting that what Jesus said is true. And if I step into it, he's going to be there with me. When I said yes to Jesus 27 years ago, do you know what I was giving up? You know what I was walking away from? I was walking away from depression, confusion, frustration, and hopelessness. And some of you, you get that. You understand that. That is not hard to walk away from when you realize there's something better out there. It's not difficult to throw that down and pursue joy and hope and liberty in Jesus Christ. But for some of you, you don't relate to that at all. Instead, what you would be walking away from is control. You would be putting to death wealth and the love of it. You would be denying comfort. You would be walking away from respectability. And in the very next verse, right, verse 24, Jesus said this: when it will feel like you are losing something when you walk away from it in this world, you have no clue what you're gaining. But he'll show you, and he'll unpack it again and again and again. And so Jesus said, in order to save your life for eternity, it will feel like a loss here. But it's not. It's actually, you'll gain the greatest thing you could ever hope. Guys, real life with Jesus begins when you stop living for yourself. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We wrap up each teaching the same way, where we simply ask this question, Jesus, what are you saying to me? And we try to create space for you to hear what God may be saying to you in this moment. God, I'm freshly aware again how much I need you, how much we need you. This is not a self-help program. This is a cling to Jesus thing. This is a rely on the Spirit moment by moment thing. I cannot express how desperate that I am for you. I believe that there are people in this room who are deeply, deeply in need of you. Some who are fully aware of it, others who are not. And God, I just pray, would you give us the ability to strip away pride and self-respectability and how we appear to other people and just simply want you. God, teach us how to just schlub off theological frameworks and just look at what the Bible says and let that shape our lives, because it's true. And then Holy Spirit, the last thing I would pray is I would just pray for people who are in this room that, like, they heard you speak and they feel like trapped in themselves. And they're going, I agree with everything you're saying. I don't know how to get away from me. I don't know how to break free. I have some bad ideas on how to do that, but I don't know necessarily how to do that with Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make it really clear to them that their first step is to believe. It's to believe that you are God and everything you said is true and everything you did was right and it was for me and it's enough. It's enough to start the journey to freedom and to live free forever. Not free to myself, but free unto you and free with you. Today might be the day, God, would you be calling some, that today might be the day that they say yes to you as their forgiver and leader for the very first time, and it would be the first yes in the rest of their life of saying yes to your leadership over them. We want to pray for you. This is one of the ministries I love about Lighthouse Community. By the way, started by a stay-at-home mom in 2018, I think, about a year or so after we had started. It was her idea. And I remember her coming to Larry and I. She was like, I have this idea to have prayer leaders at the end of the service. We thought, this is a great idea. And she goes, great, you guys can get started on it. And we're like, no, God gave you that idea and we're gonna help you step into it. And so today we have what I think is just one of the most impactful ministries in our church family. And so let me tell you how that works. You can see the band's gonna come up. They're gonna lead us in one more song. And during that song, we've got prayer leaders who are already in position around the room, and I'm thankful for that. And they are trained and ready to pray with you about absolutely anything. Anything at all. And so you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. And please never feel embarrassed to want to receive prayer, because we all need prayer, right? I need prayer. If you were able to sit down with me for coffee, or if you could come into my house and see, you would know that dude needs prayer, right? And so a lot of weekends, I'm praying with one of these people because I need prayer. And so I need it, you need it, we all need it, it's okay. So I'm going to ask everybody, by the way, Lighthouse Online, there should be a button right there. You can click on that now, and we have live hosts who would be ready to pray with you at the online campus. And so feel free to check that out as well. So I'm going to ask everybody in the house, let's stand together as we transition into singing. And then I'm going to pray for you, and I want to invite you to come as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.